At this time, I'd like to convene a public comment session. The procedures of the board allow for a public comment session during each meeting. Each speaker is allotted 5 minutes to address the board. Before the speakers begin, I should mention that the tradition of the board has been to listen closely to what speakers have to say and ask questions only as necessary. I'm sure the speaker is happy to avail him or herself outside of the board meeting for a question and answer session as appropriate. We appreciate the fact that we have guest speakers today, and we look forward to hearing from them. Our first public comment speaker is Dr. Susan Keyes. Welcome back, Dr. Keyes.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here. I'm here today to raise your awareness to an issue that is extremely important to our students. It's as important as the educational experience we provide. It's as important as the quality of faculty and staff we hire and fire. It's as important as the facilities where we provide our programming. It's as important as the medical treatment benefits that we provide to students. And it's as important as the safety of our three university campuses. I'm referring to food insecurity. Students not certain where or how they will get their next meal. This is a pipeline issue. Birth to adult, where some do not know how they're going to pay for food. I became aware of this working with a group locally called Feeding Our Kids, where a couple of parents started the program because they realized that there were grade school kids, peers of their own children, who didn't have food on weekends and holidays. At the request of teachers in 2013, they started packing accessible food for 18 kids. This program grew exponentially quickly. Now, in 2018, Feeding Our Kids has become a 501c3 organization with volunteers packing and delivering accessible food for more than 950 kids in Champaign County, and we have just scratched the surface of need. As I said, food insecurity is a pipeline issue, and there are several scholarly studies regarding food insecurity involving university students, including the State of Illinois university students. You have the means to see these articles at your seat. Yes, our students at the University of Illinois are potentially food insecure. These studies show that at some time from 20 to 40, and sometimes even as much as 60% of university students are at risk. Let that sink in a minute. We're talking about thousands of students. It's a tremendous problem. I've also included information on how you, as the Board of Trustees, can make a positive impact. First, let's get organized. There are food banks and food pantries and dinners and programs, all kinds of things going on. We need to organize them, get them working together, and get their resource information to our students. We need to encourage student groups looking for community service projects, like Feeding Our Kids, to get involved. We need to encourage fundraisers on university property and at university events. Now, I know we do some of this, but it needs to be expanded. We need to support and encourage research. We have some of the best minds in the world at the University of Illinois, and we need to motivate them to find the means to solve this issue effectively and efficiently. Support student affairs programming that deals with this issue. I'm certain if you spoke to your student affairs at each of our university campuses, they could tell you about how often they deal with this issue. It would be wonderful to have our chancellors come and make a report on the current issues and the current needs. Now, I know you're in the middle of budget planning. It's the fall, after all, right? And while you're doing this budget planning, and by the way, you're doing a great job in regard to no-cost tuition. I was very impressed by that when I heard that. But please consider food as a variable in your equation as you continue this planning, so we can help as many of our students and your part of the pipeline as possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Keyes. Our next presenter is Haley Nagelberg.
Good morning. My name is Haley Nagelberg, and I'm a senior from New Jersey, majoring in animal sciences, minoring in social work, and receiving a certificate in agricultural communications. This is Santina, a service dog in training. I'm currently her primary foster. I would like to thank you all for allowing me to speak to you today about anti-Semitism at the University of Illinois. I am here before you out of deep concern and deep respect for this institution. As a Jewish student at this university, I and my peers sitting in the back of this room today have been subjected to extensive, vicious harassment online and in person, including threats of violence. I have been made to feel unsafe on campus and afraid to identify as Jewish. I have been targeted because of my religious identity and ethnic faith. The highest level university administrators have said for years that the university is working on this problem, but nothing of consequence has been done. As you can see in the extensive documentation before you, over the last 2.5 years, over 30 unique complaints of anti-Semitic discrimination have been brought to the attention of university administrators. These complaints include my expulsion from a university committee because I am Jewish, swastikas being drawn and Israeli flags being burned, and university personnel acting in concert with anti-Semitic groups. Reports have been filed by undergraduate and graduate students. Parents, alumni, faculty, and other prominent state and national community leaders. These complaints have been brought to the bias team, senior administration, the ODEA, and others who are entrusted with addressing such matters. Our university holds a clear non-discrimination policy and touts its platform of inclusive Illinois. Time and time again in meetings with the vice chancellors, the chancellor, deans of colleges, and other high-level administrators, my peers and I have been told to go back through the established process, and we have. Both Chancellor Jones and Vice Chancellor Brown Young have said that the bias system is broken. 2.5 years ago, President Killian said that he wanted this university system to be a leader and a national model in dealing with matters of anti-Semitism. And yet our claims have not been appropriately addressed as required by school policy, not within days, weeks, a year, or within my entire college tenure. This is an actionable violation of federal civil rights law. Therefore, I am here on behalf of this Jewish community to request action from this Board of Trustees. We have no other options to pursue within this university. This matter is now within your jurisdiction because we have exhausted all of our other options. The U.S. Department of Education recently adopted the State Department definition of anti-Semitism. This is the definition that I ask you to adopt here. Illinois is not alone in these issues. Campuses across the country are engaged in these debates, and the Office of Civil Rights has recently entered into the fray. Many of the facts presented demonstrate that there is a particular dereliction of duty in handling claims pertaining to Jews. FOIA reports indicate that other complaints are handled promptly and sincerely. The bias against Jews at this university is pervasive. It is unlawful, and we are calling on this Board of Trustees to remediate it at once. Recognize Jewish students as protected under the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and as affirmed by the Supreme Court in 1987, and treat discrimination of Jewish students accordingly. Require annual training and education for all students, faculty, and administrators about anti-Semitism and how it, like all other forms of discrimination, must not be tolerated on campus. Demand the investigation of all bias reports and the discipline of any students or student groups who engage in unlawful activity. Insist on the adoption of a uniform definition of anti-Semitism to prevent and identify this hate. There should be no controversy in adopting these measures. The University of Illinois is home to the country's first Hillel, the National Jewish Student Group. The state of Illinois was the first in the country to adopt legislation against the boycott, divestment, and sanction of Israel. I urge you to set an example consistent with these historic achievements by formulating policies to ensure that Jewish students will not again be subjected to anti-Semitic discrimination at this university. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nagelberg. Our final speaker today is Mr. Tony Henson.
Trustees, there's been much discussion lately about creating new tradition for Fighting Illini athletics. This, when we already have the greatest halftime tradition in all of sports in the 3-1, it just lacks the energy it formerly possessed. The chancellor has made it clear the chief is not coming back. But is there a way to put an authentic Native American dance component into the 3-1 in a way that the Native American community virtually unanimously approves of and without violating any NCAA policy? The answer is resoundingly yes. I was fortunate enough to be one of the 200 invited guests at the Chancellor's Critical Conversation Conference. My table consisted of myself, four university employees, and one faculty member. I later asked others I know in attendance what their experience was, and it was much the same. Intentional or not, the resulting ideas were disproportionately reflective of faculty and employees. The faculty member at my table was Matt Gilbert, the director of the American Indian Studies program. I was able to later meet with him in his office for over an hour and detail my plan to honor veterans and the Native Illini tribe at halftime. He felt it was something he could get behind, as have numerous others I have spoken to on both the pro and anti-chief side. It is the 95% compromise solution that Illini Nation is unaware of, as it is being suppressed by the administration. The chancellor refuses to let my bipartisan proposal even be up for consideration because a very narrow opposition will say it's the chief. Given the authentic is the polar opposite of the inauthentic, it is a ridiculous assertion. A mascot has a history of being booed off the court at the Assembly Hall in 1982. When was the chief ever booed off the field? Yet a mascot is a highly controversial idea the chancellor holds out as an option, even though the vast majority of stakeholders emphatically oppose one. Of the eight NCAA teams with a tribal affiliation, which includes Illinois, six got an NCAA exemption. All six had a small faction of faculty fight against the will of the majority, but fortunately the majority rule prevailed, and as a result, all are thriving. In North Dakota, the Fighting Sioux were denied an NCAA exemption, even with a vote from the Sioux Indian people in overwhelming support, all because faculty conspired with the administration, leaving in the wake the total destruction of their university to the point they are now considering becoming exclusively an online campus. This is what happens when faculty run athletics. At Illinois, since the elimination of its Native identity, Native American enrollment has plummeted by 78%, and the once thrilling halftime tradition, which used to generate pride and enthusiasm, emotes only feelings of loss. This is what happens when faculty run athletics. Mr. Jones is supposed to be the chancellor of all Fighting Illini stakeholders, not just the faculty. I quote the chancellor from his own webpage, quote, "But that's what great universities are supposed to be doing. We solve problems the rest of the world doesn't even want to acknowledge exist. The only way we have been able to do that for 150 years is if we have every single perspective and every single idea on the table. Diversity and inclusive excellence aren't about leaving people or viewpoints behind. They are about bringing them together in one place and at one time." In a February 2016 News Gazette article, the chancellor is on record as favoring majority rule. I quote, "We clearly need to come up with a process that will lead to some new tradition that hopefully the majority of us can get behind. At the end of the day, I think what we're talking about is some new tradition that the alums can get their arms around and provide a different opportunity to have some identity with the university. That exact new tradition exists, but is being censored by the very man who said, every single idea should be on the table. Trustees, I plead to your fundamental sense of fairness to mandate that every single idea be allowed on the table. After 11 years of minority rule, it is time to return power to the people and return to majority rule. It was the trustees who ended the great chief tradition. It is only fitting that the trustees closely oversee a fair process to bring forth the next majority-supported tradition." Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Henson.